Hello and welcome to the Archaeology News Weekly. I'm David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership, as ever, between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and so to view details on each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. And now the main headlines from around the world are as follows. The secrets of Nauth are revealed in Ireland. Five walled cities from 300 BCE are unearthed in India. A Vietnamese cave reveals artifacts and tombs from the Neolithic. Archaeologists try and date the Brodgar megaliths in Orkney. And 2,900-year-old Phoenician remains are unearthed in Lebanon. A 19th-century artifact in the US is found to be nothing more than a fraud. And 5,000-year-old relics are found in Iran. An ancient village is discovered in Arizona, and not to be outdone, a huge necropolis is discovered in Sicily. Neolithic cremation urns are found in Istanbul, and an Iron Age town in the sky is revealed in Wales, while sadly, in Wiltshire, an Iron Age replica roundhouse goes up in flames. 40 years ago, archaeologist George Egan became the first person in centuries to see the underground passage tomb at Nauth in County Meath in Ireland. A year earlier, in 1967, excavations had uncovered a smaller underground passage leading in from the western face of the megalithic mound, but this larger eastern tomb surpassed it. Nauth's charms had lain undiscovered for hundreds of years before excavations started on the site 46 years ago. The fourth volume in a series of books on the dig's findings is published by the Royal Irish Academy later this month. The project has uncovered 18 satellite tombs around the Great Mound, as well as many unusual discoveries, including decorative flint macehead and a series of 8th century inscriptions within the passages and chambers. They also found evidence of pottery, houses and flint artifacts from a pre-passage tomb stage of early Neolithic settlement from around 4000 BCE. Then, around 3000 BCE, there was an important transformation, and this was when they had the replacement of the passage tomb. The original mound at Nauth was ringed by a series of curbstones, slabs of grey wacky rock which had probably been sourced and transported from several miles away. But what really sets the stones apart is the art that they have, a series of angular and spiral inscriptions. Sometimes it stops at ground level, so the stones must already have been erected before the art was engraved. One of the quirkier discoveries at the megalithic site is a series of inscriptions on stone that line the underground passages and chambers, a curious mixture of Ogham scratchings and more modern alphabetic script. They seem to have been doodled around the 8th century AD, or should I say CE. They date from a period when Nauth was in occupation as a royal site by the early Irish kings of the Brega Kingdom from around about 700 CE onwards. Much of the writing details around 20 names, some rare and some common, of the writer's contemporaries, and forms one of the largest known hoards of historical graffiti ever found. Worth keeping an eye on this one, and if you're interested in getting hold of the publication, I'm sure it will be fascinating. Antaras flourished before the advent of the Satavahanas, and were said to be as powerful as the Mauryans. They had 30 fortified walled cities way back in 300 BCE, or so wrote the Greek traveller Megasthenes in his Indica. In what could be an exciting discovery, the State Department of Archaeology and Museums had identified 5 of those 30 walled cities. The department has found physical evidence that proves that Megasthenes was in fact right, and archaeologists are now throwing light on the existence of the Antaras and the Telugu language. The study is part of a project taken up to find the 30 walled cities mentioned by the Greek traveller and historian in his travelogue. In Indica, Megasthenes indicates that the Antara kings belonged to a powerful race and possessed an army of around 100,000 infantry, 2,000 cavalry, 1,000 elephants, and also had 30 well-built fortified towns. Archaeologists have so far examined 18 sites with historical importance and singled out 5. Archaeologists recovered bricks, pottery, coins and other evidence from these sites, and now efforts are on to identify the remaining 25 towns in Andhra Pradesh. A Archaeologists have finished the second phase of excavation at Pier Mun Cave in Vietnam and have uncovered about 1,000 artefacts and 12 tombs of the Neolithic Ho Binh culture. Excavations began in May last year, and archaeologists soon realised the importance of the site, as they uncovered artefacts dated to between 6 to 7,000 years ago, concluding the cave was inhabited during Neolithic times. The cave was located in deep jungle, making work very difficult, but the reward for it being so hard to get to meant that the site was in pristine condition. During excavations, archaeologists uncovered stone tools, animal bones and sea snail shells, proving that the inhabitants of the cave had contact with coastal tribes. They also discovered a set of tools carved with motifs of the Ho Binh culture. Rudimentary ceramic pieces were found decorated with patterns estimated to be 4,000 years old. Human remains were also found in 4 of the 12 tombs uncovered, while the other tombs that only held stone tools. The archaeologists have petitioned the authorities to protect the site, and it has a wealth of knowledge and artefacts still to be discovered. The Ring of Brodgar, the third largest standing stone circle in Britain, and the Ness of Brodgar, its accompanying settlement site, have been the focus of an investigation funded by Historic Scotland and Orkney Island Council, under the direction of Dr. Jane Downes from Orkney College and Dr. Colin Richards from Manchester University. This season saw the long-anticipated reopening of Professor Colin Renfrew's 1973 trenches at the Ring of Brodgar, the impressive monument which is thought to be 4 to 4,500 years old, although the date has never been scientifically confirmed. Although the excavations 35 years ago were undertaken to obtain dating material and establish chronology, they failed due to the limitations of the available dating techniques at the time. The advanced new techniques now at our disposal mean that this time investigation should establish when exactly the Ring of Brodgar was built. A tomography survey was undertaken to determine if the original circle contained more than the 27 megaliths that are seen standing today. The survey revealed empty sockets, suggesting the original was made up of at least 60 stones. However, archaeologists continue to seek an answer for the one big question. What was the monument for? Under further investigation was a massive stone wall extending across the Ness known as the Great Wall of Brodgar. It divides a ring from the settlement, and the archaeologists believe it might represent the separation of the land of the living from the land of the dead. Thousands of artefacts were found, including sensational finds such as a stone-polished axe and mace head, as well as everyday objects like pottery and flint tools. An exceptional discovery of Neolithic art was also made. The previously rare find of purposely decorated stone was discovered on structure walls and individual stone slabs. The Ness of Brodgar will continue to provide insights into how these monument builders of Neolithic Orkney lived. However, archaeologists now have to wait until summer 2009 to see exactly what new exciting discoveries can be made. In meantime, results for the date of Ring of Brodgar are eagerly awaited, and I'm sure we'll be bringing news as soon as it's made available. And now I have to confess, I'm so excited, I can't wait for summer 2009 now as well. Lebanese and Spanish archaeologists have discovered 2,900-year-old earthenware pottery that ancient Phoenicians used to store the bones of their dead after cremation of the corpse. More than 100 jars were discovered at a Phoenician site in the southern coastal city of Tyre. Phoenicians are known to have thrived from 1500 BCE to 300 BCE and were spread along the coastal area that now also includes present-day Syria. The large jars are like individual tombs, but the smaller jars are left empty, symbolically representing that a soul was stored within them. These discoveries help researchers who work on past Phoenician colonies in Spain, Italy and Tunisia to understand their lifestyle and traditions. The last excavation in this area was in 2005, but a war in 2006 between Israel and Hezbollah guerrillas concentrated in southern Lebanon and the tenuous political and security situation in 2007 halted work on the site until this year. In 1838, excavators of the Grave Creek Mound in West Virginia, USA, made a remarkable discovery. A small stone bearing inscribed markings that were variously read as Celtic, Norse or Phoenician. The stone appeared to confirm the then popular idea that an old world culture built the magnificent and mysterious mounds of eastern North America. Last month, at the annual meeting of the West Virginia Archaeological Society, anthropologist David Ostricher offered evidence to suggest that the Grave Creek stone can be dismissed as a fraud. He found the source for the stone's confusing mixture of ancient alphabets in an 18th century book on the unknown letters that are to be found in the most ancient coins and monuments of Spain. Ostricher thinks the perpetrator of the fraud was a local Wheeling physician, one James Clemens. Clemens had borrowed a large sum of money to bankroll the excavations and was disappointed when nothing significant was found. Planting the sensational artifact proved an opportunity to recoup his losses, but many scholars of the time ridiculed the stone as a crude forgery, and Clemens' dreams of fortune and glory ended instead in financial ruin. Historian Terry Barnhart wrote that the true significance of the Grave Creek controversy is the light it sheds on the development of 19th century American archaeology. It's a human process governed by the ordinary human passions of ambition, pride and greed. And the step from greed to fraud is only a small step in science, just as it is in other walks of life. How true, how very true, and even if things are not outright fakes, we often just want to believe things to happen, and so therefore force what is basically factual evidence into our own strange archaeological boxes. The recent discovery of 28 relics dating back to 3000 BCE has shed light on the agricultural techniques of southern Iran from that time. Archaeological excavations in the southern Iranian province of Hormuzgan have resulted in the discovery of artifacts 2 to 5,000 years old. A dish considered the smallest in the world, stone and clay cutting tools, date seeds and a clay vessel, as well as glassware belonging to the Parthian dynasty, were among those discovered. The clay cutting tools unearthed from the depth of 8 metres are believed to have been used as sickles for harvesting grain and cutting grass. The dish, however, is a mere 1.7 centimetres long and 8 millimetres wide. It's the smallest ever of its kind and may have been used for measuring medicine. The archaeologists also found 2 5,000-year-old date seeds that suggest that the date trade influenced economic life in the area 5,000 years ago. In 2004, voters approved an upgrade on a wastewater facility in Tucson, Arizona. But before anything new can be built, the state and county require an archaeological survey for any unknown sites. So while prospecting around the wastewater facility, they discovered an ancient village, which archaeologists estimate is 3,500 years old. In August this year, scientists from Desert Archaeology started digging 54 test trenches on the site, and in January 2009, the archaeologists planned to start expanding the investigations horizontally to reveal more detail. 3,500 years ago, there were people out there farming, and 30 to 50 people lived in pit houses, which are small excavations down into the ground with a brush superstructure. The archaeologists commented that this is some of the best preserved evidence that they have ever seen. Archaeologists working at the ancient Greek city of Himera in northern Sicily have uncovered what now believed to be the largest Greek necropolis on the island. Although experts have long known about the burial ground, they've only recently understood its importance because of building work to extend a local railway track. Hundreds of graves have already been uncovered, but archaeologists believe that there are thousands more waiting to be found in the burial ground of the city, which rose to prominence more than 2,500 years ago. Preliminary estimates indicate the presence of around 10,000 tombs, which give the site a good claim to being the most important discovery of recent years. Among the most exciting finds are skeletons of newborn babies placed inside funerary amphorae, along with the ancient version of the baby's bottle, small terracotta vases equipped with spouts to function as feeding bottles. Most of the graves in the necropolis date from between the 6th and 5th century BCE, and archaeologists believe that many of the tombs contain the remains of thousands of soldiers, civilians and prisoners who died during 2 bloody battles that took place in the city. Stefano Vassallo, who heads the dig, said that archaeologists were excited to have found a mass grave containing dozens of bodies, all of whom, he said, were young, male, and showed signs of a violent death in battle. Some of the skeletons bear the signs of being hit by heavy objects, while others still have arrows embedded in them. Finds are being transferred to a small museum at the site where they will be catalogued and restored before going on display at a new museum to be built nearby. I'll have to agree there with Stefano that they do seem to have the signs of a violent death. Having an arrow embedded in you might be a clue. Construction on the new metro tunnel, which goes underneath the Bosphorus and will connect the Asian and European sides of Istanbul in Turkey, has uncovered 8,000-year-old cremation urns from the Neolithic age. The urns were found in the Everglade at Marmara before heavy machinery was due to start excavation. The urns are the first in Anatolian history. Experts said that the urns were a sensational find, and Dr. Ismail Karamut, director of Istanbul Archaeology Museums and the head of the excavations, said that digging would have to continue using hand-operated tools. Permission to recommence the use of heavy machinery will have to be decided at a later date. The known forms of cremation in Anatolian archaeology were seen in the early Bronze Age, but this type of burial was uncommon during the Neolithic, which dates back 8,000 years. Inside the urns, ashes were wrapped in cloth, and the private belongings of the deceased were also found. One urn found contained the skeleton of a baby. The archaeologist community in Istanbul stated that in Anatolian archaeology, there were no urn burials from the Neolithic age until now. This makes it an extremely sensational find. They just seem to be finding amazing find after amazing find at this site. This is the one I think we'll try and get in touch with and see if we can get an article for Past Horizons magazine. From the air, its hidden tree-covered slopes give little clue to the settlement that existed there 3,000 years ago. But historians have now described an ancient Iron Age hill fort in mid-Wales as the Millennium Stadium of its day, after computer modelling revealed its true scale. Going back to the time when Caractacus was an Iron Age king in Wales, experts say the Gerfor hill fort, and I know I've said that wrong, near Welshpool, was once a multi-tiered town in the sky, which would have been the equivalent of a modern-day skyscraper. Dr. Toby Driver, aerial investigator of the Royal Commission on Ancient and Historical Monuments of Wales, said that because the area is fully wooded, there's no way that anyone would have imagined just what it looked like in pre-Roman times. Until now, of course. The Great Hill was a massive piece of civil engineering with five terraces cut into the hillside on an incredible scale. A computer model now allows it to be seen in its full glory for the first time in hundreds of years. Surveyor Louise Barker took about 3 weeks to complete the physical survey of the area, which was then converted into a computer model by digital mapper Tom Peat. The computer modelling was carried out for the BBC Two Wales programme Hidden Histories. And while we're on BBC Two programmes, I'll also have to give a quick plug to the fabulous BBC Scotland programme, The History of Scotland with Neil Oliver. Again, there seems that there's some really quality programmes coming out there. So if you go to the BBC website, you can probably even have a look at them on the iPlayer watch again. Well worth seeing. And finally, a suspicious fire has gutted the replica of historic house only 2 years after it was built. The Iron Age roundhouse, located just off the Barbary Castle site in Wiltshire, went up in flames after residents say that yobs finally succeeded in their efforts to destroy the structure. People living nearby who refused to be named said that they heard cars speeding from the site soon before the fire brigade arrived, just after 10 p.m. Fire crews were unable to save the building, which was made from straw and wood. Chris Park of Acorn Education, who designed and built the hut, said that it was a wonderful community resource that really brought the place alive. It just shows that the ill will of people involved can spoil a site for thousands of people. The building was constructed in 2006 after the National Lottery granted the project £28,000. Volunteers who helped to create the structure used local materials, and the site was open to visitors and also hosted events, including those organised as part of the Swindon Literature Festival. Swindon Fire Station Commander Pete Townsend said that he thought the blaze was started deliberately, and said he wants those that were responsible brought to justice. He urged anyone with information, and so do we, to call the fire station on 01793 401 226. 01793 401 226. Let's see if we can catch them. Just remains for me to thank you for listening to Archaeology News Weekly. May I remind you that the latest edition of the Past Horizons magazine is now online, so go along to www.pasthorizons.com/magazine. And of course, come along to Badger. It's got many new heritage employment opportunities, and there's not that many of them, I have to say. You can find that at Badger, www.bajr.org. And of course, more can always be found at Stonepages, news.stonepages.com. Thanks for listening to Archaeology News Weekly. We hope you'll return again to us next week.